Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the McCarthy Project live from Minnesota, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001.
Good afternoon. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we have a really cool desire here at the McCarthy Project to actually take kids beyond the standard United States sports scene. And one of the biggest things that I think has been very disappointing in my 10 years of being in the industry is to see the number of players, athletes, I should say, that really do not understand how to think, you know, and how to use their brain, that they feel that their athletic ability is what really creates their success and it becomes who they are. And just to share, I've talked to players that, you know, were the best on the basketball court, but I'm telling you, they couldn't even give you directions to get home. And it really amazed me at the level that they've been able to get all the way through high school, and their athletic ability and is really the only thing that brought them there. So in the world of institutionalized thought, I am totally excited to have a guest that is actually the exact opposite of that. She was born and raised that education was first, and if you did do your homework and did understand what they were teaching, then you were allowed to go play sports, and I think that's a fantastic. So I have Folake Akinradewo. Did I make it?
He did it.
All right. Cool. So thank you very much for coming on the show today. I'll give a little bit of background for people that may not recognize my pronunciation. She is currently on the USA volleyball team. The team has been all over the world recently, traveling. And so what do you think of my introduction, you know, about the idea that there are so many, and I actually would say the majority of the athletes in the United States today are basically given the pass as far as education is concerned, so that they can play sport rather than vice versa.
Right. I think we're very fortunate in the States to have that opportunity. Growing up, my parents always put education first. So like you said before, it was very important for us to do well academically. And then sports is kind of a byproduct. And because it doesn't last forever, and though I've been fortunate enough to have a great career, at the end of the day, it's going to all come to an end. I know a lot of my teammates that I have overseas playing professionally that they don't necessarily have the education that we're given in the States, and it's only sports that they have, and they have nothing to fall back on. But we're fortunate enough to be able to get, you know, a bachelor's degree at the end of the day, as well as play a sport that we love.
And let's go back a little bit, because you actually were born in Canada, and then you actually went to college here in the United States, and you went to Stanford, which is a feat in itself. So what is different about Stanford versus the standard run-of-the-mill college?
I can't really compare because I haven't been to other colleges, but what I can say about Stanford is that every single person that's there is very unique in their own way, and whether you're an athlete that's an Olympian or you've come up with new research that, you know, it's world-renowned, there were those people there. And every single person was special. So there wasn't a person you can necessarily put on a pedestal. And I think from what I've heard from other people that it's really unique about Stanford students that I think a lot of other colleges have study hall. That's a requirement. And because they need to make sure they get their grades and study, but everyone at Stanford, I mean, it's a no-brainer. And so we're, you know, on the bus on the way to our mat studying. And I remember our coaches told us, all right, you guys can't be studying right before a match in the locker room. You need to be focusing on the game. So that's something that's really different. Like, I don't think many people are saying that to athletes. But at Stanford, that's what we've got.
The funny thing is I was just listening. Have you ever heard of John Taylor Gatto and the Ultimate History Lesson?
No, I haven't.
You need to listen to this.
Okay.
Sorry, that's totally on the side. But he made the statement. He said he went to the admissions department for Harvard, for Princeton. I don't believe Stanford would have been on the list if he would have. I think he does mention Stanford, though, as well. And he said the one thing that you'll have to remember is that these admission departments, you know, turn away 90% of the people that apply. And he said one of the things that you have to realize is that you have to be unique. Just having a 36 or a perfect score on the SAT and being a valedictorian in your class, that isn't the prerequisite that they're looking for. They are looking for people that are unique, that may have done something, or they did statistical analysis on the probability of the shuttle coming back from the moon or something like this, where they did some project that really did show that they have the uniqueness of not only being smart, but also being able to apply it. Do you see that?
Right. Have I seen that, or do I see that in Stanford?
No, do you agree with that statement, that they ultimately are looking
absolutely
for those type of people?
Yes, absolutely.
And the funny thing is, they actually said that, like at Harvard, they turn down 2,000 to 4,000 of those type of students per year because they don't have anything that's unique about them other than they did good at school.
Right. And one of my friends, actually, that we graduated the same year from Stanford, she's now in the alumni office, and she's the one who reads applications. And so she was saying it's so tough because all these kids are so unique, but and, you know, have all these great things about them, and it's hard to choose who to pick to go to Stanford. They have such a low acceptance rate.
Interesting. And it's an amazing thing
because
I think so many people, even if you take away the subject we're talking about today, where the concept of basically education is something that you just do to get by so that you can play basketball, you know, or that you can play volleyball, that even in the world of being smart, you have to be special. You just can't just get through the system. Well, anyway, so now we move on to the idea of playing for the USA volleyball team. How did that kind of come to pass, realizing that you obviously probably graduated from Stanford and you were, played at a high level on the volleyball team, was a player of the year for the Pac-10. Why did you decide to continue to play volleyball?
Well, actually, it goes back to when I first started playing volleyball to begin with in high school. And my high school coach, Lisa Zielinski, is the one who nagged me to try playing the sport. And my first year playing, she told me about the youth national team and for me to try out for that. And I was fortunate enough to make that team. And the next year I did the junior national team. So I've been in the USA volleyball loop for quite a while, since probably I was around like 15 or 16. So every summer I've been doing USA volleyball since I was that age. And so it kind of came natural. It was a natural progression. In 2008, I tried to make the Olympic team and I didn't quite make it as first alternate. And it was a good sign. It told me that, you know, there was more for me to give. And so I tried again for the next quad, and fortunately I was able to make the team, and we got a silver medal. So
sweet. It is a cool thing. So now let's just come back to the concept of education. You know, if you had, you know, a teenager, you know, that was in, or a young athlete that was in this position of really looking at their life.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the question is, can you do both? I know what the answer is, but I'm just kind of.
Absolutely,
you know.
Yeah, you can absolutely.
Exactly. And is it as hard as you think it is, or is it once you get the habits down and you understand how to do it that it becomes easier?
Yeah, actually, I found for myself, and I think a lot of others, that when we were in season in college, it was easier academically because, you know, you're multitasking, but you have a set amount of time that you can allot to studying, and when you have to be in the gym. And I found that when it was off season, I had so much time on my hands, it was harder to focus. So if anything, it kind of helps you out for the future to be able to juggle multiple things.
And then how did you actually, have you ever tried to conceptualize how you're able to do both at such a high level? You know, because so many people in today's world, either you're smart or you play sport, but you've been able to do both at a high level. Are they the same type of thoughts, or are they totally different, or how do you view that?
I think they are kind of the same thought. I think for me, I was at Stanford, and even on the USA volleyball team, I think all of the girls are very intelligent in both ways. They're intelligent on the court and off the court. And so it was just natural. Everyone worked hard in the classroom. Everyone worked hard on the court. I don't think you can really put the two apart. If you're not working hard on the court, then I don't see how you're going to be able to work hard in the classroom and vice versa. I think there's a different level of intelligence in higher level volleyball, being aware on the court and what plays. I know volleyball, to me, before I started playing, seemed like a really simple game, but there's a lot that goes into it, and it requires using your brain. So I think they aren't really mutually exclusive.
Have you found any subjects that really did move you ahead in both arenas? You know, like did you take you know, exercise science? I mean, is there a particular subject that really helped you move ahead in both areas?
I can't say for sure. I don't think there was something that I was like, aha, I can use this in volleyball. I don't think so.
Because there's the guy that from Illinois State, the guy that, you know, the 5'10 guy that could do all the fancy dunks, you know, he said, I became a science guy so I could jump higher. You know what I mean? And it really,
I don't think for me that hasn't been the case. I don't think so.
Exactly. But it's just always fun to think about, because I think, have you found many people that have like thoughts, or were you really sort of looked at all like, oh gosh, she goes to Stanford, you know, it's just like, okay, well, but do people accept the fact that you're good at both, or how do they view you?
Yeah, I haven't met anyone who's discriminated against me because I went to Stanford and played volleyball and has been able to kind of excel at both. Everyone at Stanford is the same way. And like I said, everyone on the USA volleyball team, they're all very intelligent themselves, and they all went to very good universities. So I think maybe it's just volleyball. I don't know. But the girls take education seriously, and then they also take the sport seriously. So I've never had that issue.
Interesting, because I think there's so many people that, you know, like in basketball – you know, I've seen this happen where the guy that's 6'10", 270, you know, is a 17-year-old.
Right.
And he walks out on the court, can dunk, can do it all. And then he says, well, the rest of the camp is going to be doing the drills, so I ain't doing the drills. You know, and then you immediately label him as, okay, where are you going to school? Okay, I'm going to junior college. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Right.
Then you create this athlete label. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And it's just interesting how volleyball has a tendency to attract very smart people. I found that to be a case as well. And also very, very well spoken as well. I've interviewed Lindsay a couple times, and I'm amazed at her understanding of all the different components of the game and leadership ability. And it just really is a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today. If people want to get a hold of you, if people want to get a hold of you, where would they go to touch base with you as far as to keep track of what's happening?
Well, I'm on Twitter.
Cool.
I can't say that I'm the best tweeter. I'm not really a big social media person, but I do have a Twitter account at @FActinOttawa. They can follow me there and also on Instagram. But yeah, like I said, I'm not the best with social media, so I apologize to any fans who have tried to get a hold of me.
Yes, it is something. It's a learned event, for sure.
Yeah.
it is something that you have to kind of get worked into your to life. But thank you very much for coming on the show. I do wish you all the luck in the upcoming season, and we'll be following you from here in Minnesota.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.